ratepayers money for a rescue package for the Ulster Orchestra. The orchestra's chairman, Sir George Bain, has warned it will be forced to close by the end of the year without a cash injection. Some Belfast City councillors have said they are sympathetic to the orchestra's plight, but no final decision was taken at a City Hall committee meeting on Friday. Belfast councillor, former mayor, Martin Mueller, is with me this morning. Good morning to you, Martin.
Morning, Stephen.
What is the attitude then within the council? Well, what's the sentiment?
I think it may be a bit like the bigger talks that are going to go on again this week, in that there's going to have to be accommodations made. There's going to have to be movement, I think, on all sides. There's going to have to be other players come in and try and help the council and the orchestra. So the general attitude is Belfast should certainly have a great orchestra. Great cities have orchestras. We should have one as well. Do we have £500,000 council? I think that's unlikely. I don't think we can be the only person who comes to the rescue here, but we respect what the Ulster Orchestra does. We respect Sir George Bain, and we would like to find a way through this, but we're only at least another month. We need to speak to the minister. We need to speak to the other players, and I think there's, and Sir George knows us, I think there's more the orchestra can do as well.
Yeah, it's not just £500,000. They're looking at the Ulster Orchestra, the Ulster Hall free for the next 5 years. That's 160 grand a year. So that's another 800,000 they're looking. That's at least 1.3 million they're looking, actually.
Well, and we spend, I think, about 1.4 million in arts every year. So look, it's a big ask, but This is what I would say to everyone who's concerned about this and wants Belfast to be a great city for the arts. That is that we do need to have an orchestra. We need to find a way we can afford the orchestra, and we need to put the orchestra at the vanguard of the arts. There's two things I'd like to see, Stephen, just to get the orchestra mainstreamed into the heart of the arts activity and festival activity in Belfast. I really think we should have a festival in which the Ulster Orchestra is to the fore, not just the Belfast Festival of Queens, which we had, but a celebration of music and the orchestra, and a way we can bring people into the city so that it's really helping the overall drive and lift of the city. Rather than being, I think sometimes the orchestra is to the side of the city. And for me, that's wrong.
Why do we need an orchestra? Why?
Well, you know, if you look at the great ebullient, forward-looking, outward-looking cities in the world, that they have orchestras. That it really, I think, sends out a message of what's important to the city. It sends out a message about the values of the city, but also the training involved in it, the jobs it creates, the uplift it creates in the city, all those things to me are very, very important. And, you know, when I look at what's happening with orchestras in cities in around the world, they're really trying to make them part of the education and training of young people, an introduction of young people to music. And, you know, the great El Sistema experiment, where they took young people who wouldn't have access to expansive education or to even expansive instruments and created a whole orchestra from that. So I think that's where we need to go. I think that this is a great city of music and we should have an orchestra.
Martin, thank you. The orchestra's guest, conductor David Brophy, is with us this morning. Morning to you, David.
Morning, Stephen.
Good morning. The journalist and commentator Tina Calder with us too. Morning, Tina.
Good morning.
Good morning. David, why can't the middle classes just pay more for the Ulster Orchestra?
Well, I'm probably the wrong person to answer that question, so I'm not even going to attempt to do that, because I'm not going to talk for any particular... here I am in Dublin here. I don't think I should be talking to anybody in Northern Ireland and telling them what they should be paying for their Ulster Orchestra. But I think the reality is in that the way orchestras are funded across the world, it is governmental or public money in some way that actually sustains an orchestra. And so in many ways, the orchestra is funded by all people. For those who like to attend Ulster Orchestra concerts and for those who possibly don't attend Ulster Orchestra concerts, it is funded by everybody and the orchestra is there for everybody. I mean, I just look recently, I conducted the Ulster Orchestra for BBC Proms in the Park at Titanic Slipway in Belfast there about 5 weeks ago, and a whopping 40,000 people applied for tickets. So there is obviously a wide group of people in Northern Ireland and Belfast who do want to hear the Ulster Orchestra. I mean, I think the population of Belfast is 280,000 people. That represents about 14% of the population of Belfast want to hear the Ulster Orchestra there 5 weeks ago. So I think to say that it's sort of the orchestra's there for a small clique of people is actually not the case. And on the ground, obviously people are wanting to hear the Ulster Orchestra and supporting their work.
But listen even to the name, the Ulster Orchestra. So why should it just be the Belfast ratepayers paying for it?
Stephen, I probably can't answer that question. I'm not necessarily a party to how the orchestra necessarily is funded. What I would say is that since 2011, The orchestra has received cuts, combined cuts from their work with the BBC and the Arts Council of Northern Ireland, amounting to £925,000. So the current rescue plan on the table, taking into account that it would cost £500,000, it actually represents quite a lot less than what they've lost over the past 3 years, say, since 2011. And while I'm not saying, I'm not going to make a value judgment on the sense that, like, how much value for money this is. Obviously, £500,000 is an awful lot of money. I do think, in the context of what the orchestra's put up with in terms of cuts over the past 3 years, I think it represents not necessarily a pull on resources, but an opportunity for Belfast City Council, if they will accept proposals on the table. I would see this as a golden opportunity. I mean, if you look recently, their new principal conductor, Raphael Priore, has just come into a job to take on the Ulster Orchestra. He is making his debut with the Vienna Philharmonic in January, and I think it's a golden opportunity to put Belfast and Northern Ireland on a map that they would not normally probably appear on, if they can be on a programme somewhere in Vienna with the Vienna Philharmonic in January with their new principal conductor, Raphael Priore, at the fore. I think that would really do wonders for the Ulster Orchestra. So I would urge all people involved here who can make a difference to the Ulster Orchestra to really think long and hard and to commit to the Ulster Orchestra and putting it on a secure footing for the next number of years.
How close are you to going under?
This is not a game of chicken, and I don't think there's anybody here crying wolf here. I think, you know, and I have to say as well that the Ulster Orchestra is not the only orchestra in the world at the moment with difficulties. I mean, the global economic meltdown of the past 5 or 6 years has had huge implications for a lot of arts organisations, and orchestras have been included in that. I look at the Atlanta Symphony Orchestra at the moment. There's trouble in the Metropolitan Opera House as well, New York, with payments from musicians. And also there's been trouble in the home of opera initially with Rome, opera in difficulty as well. So it's not just in Northern Ireland. I think this is very serious, but I also think that the people involved, the staff involved in the Ulster Orchestra, the players themselves, have actually, instead of leaving this go for another year or so, or 2 years, and making the problem worse, they've actually come in pretty early on, and so that the rescue package is not as big as it could have been had this been left for a year or two to go on longer. So I think it is serious, but I think it's very much doable, and I would urge those involved to really try and save things here.
Okay, David, nice to talk to you this morning.
Thank you, Steve.
Morning to you. Tina, we'll bring you in just a second again. Martin, the same question to you that I asked David Brophy. If it's the Ulster Orchestra, why should it only be Belfast paying for it?
Well, I presume we're not the only people paying for it. And I know the orchestra met the minister last week to try and chat about this. But I do think that Belfast has the lead on this.
Why though? Why does Belfast have the lead on it? Why shouldn't it be across Northern Ireland?
Well, and maybe even across Ulster. But the orchestra is based in Belfast. I think it's something we want. It's based on the council premises, and I think that's something we desire as well, despite the discussion now about the cost. This is the one thing I would say, Stephen, it's the same message I give to the Eastside Arts Festival and the New Strand Arts Centre. It's the message I give to the Thela in West Belfast, or to the MAC, or to the Lyric, or anyone else. What can you do as well to match council support? So you see, when the new Lyric was built, they went out and they raised money. The MAC raised money. The Strand Arts Centre in East Belfast also digs deep to try and bring other money to the table. And the one thing I would say, and I've said this to Sir George Bain, is, what can the backers of the Ulster Orchestra, the board of the Ulster Orchestra, the stalwarts of the Ulster Orchestra, what can they bring to the table? In other cities, they manage to have successful fundraising by those who are the strongest advocates of different art organisations, including the orchestras. And I would, in my view, the orchestra would be in a stronger position if they can gather a group of fair-minded people to come behind the orchestra and say, here's what we're putting into the city as well.
To be honest, Stephen, all of this is fantastic. I mean, let's be honest, it's the Ulster Orchestra. We all wanted to be there. And I want to stress very, very clearly, I'm not on here to give the orchestra a bashing. I'm quite proud of it. I think it's fantastic. However, that doesn't change my opinion about public money. Unfortunately for me, I believe that the arts industry should be subject to much more stricter analysis of where the money is going, and we have to have tangible ways of assessing that. I mean, for example, commercial ventures getting money from us, from InvestNI, they've got to crunch the numbers, prove the investment is good, prove that there's a good, solid return. Now, that's not always the case, but that's the processes in place. Then when it comes to the arts industry, and I include the orchestra, I think we need more than prestige, tradition and footfall as markers of success. unfortunately, our penchant for throwing money around to the arts industry has created a false economy. I agree that some art may never be commercially viable, but we need to ask ourselves the question, if our orchestra faces being thrust into administration and bankruptcy without £500,000 of public money, how can we sensibly put a case forward for this spending? And what activities do the orchestra do that makes them, number one, live beyond their means, and two, justify £500,000 of our money?
Are they really reaching out, Martine, to the working classes? Like, if they really connected as much as they could?
Well, I think they have a good tradition in recent years. I think they could do more. I've seen the orchestra and the performers in schools. I've seen them in the Anderson Town Leisure Centre, and I know they're committed to doing more than that.
But I haven't.
Well, sorry, I didn't catch that. But just
I'm glad you have, Martine, because I haven't, and I have searched online all morning trying to find out more information about the Ulster Orchestra's outreach programme. I've looked for their annual report to try and find out what it is. I cannot find any evidence to suggest that the majority of this money is going to the public good. What could £4.5 million a year do for grassroots arts and music industry? What could that do to disenfranchised people all over Northern Ireland, not just in Belfast? How could that change? At the end of the day, we're a small country. We are a very small country. And Northern Ireland shouldn't be sustaining an orchestra to the same size as possibly Scotland or Ireland.
Go on, Martine.
Well, Tina, let me finish this. Come with me to Clonard Monastery. The Ulster Orchestra played there during the summer, during the West Belfast Fair. Well received by people. No matter how small the city, no matter how small the region, we should think big. So I have an open mind on this. The orchestra needs to do more, but let's try and find an
It's one type of music, though. It's one type of music, Martine, isn't it? You know, I don't know. I like downloading Frank Sinatra. Why shouldn't I get subsidised for downloading him?
Well, I hope legally downloading it. That's the first thing. So you're not getting a subsidy. There are certain types of music which are funded by the Arts Council. It's a general policy across.
And the middle classes can't pay more, Martin.
Well,
ticket prices.
The challenge for us is to make this more than either a middle class or upper class activity. And the idea and the concept of going in to our schools, creating an El Sistema, creating an orchestra of young people, a bit like the City of Belfast Youth Orchestra, I think that's a big challenge. So the Ulster Orchestra needs to step up as well. They need to set out a vision of their activities over the next 5 to 10 years, right until 2020, certainly, which really involve and engage the entire city. I think they're doing a lot of that. They need to do more. But we need to do more as well. The whole city, the city fathers and city mothers need to do more as well.
But, Martine, you need to look at this from the numbers. Belfast has just under 300,000 people in a country of 1.8 million people. Glasgow is nearly 600,000 people in a country of 5 million. How can we say that 4.5 million a year to run an orchestra is correct?
Where are you getting 4.5 million a year from?
That's what the BBC Online reported this.
Yeah, but what they need to survive is not that. That's the point, isn't it?
The question has to be asked then, Stephen, how did this immediate crisis suddenly come after funding cuts were announced? Surely they already knew they were in trouble. Surely the funding for 2014 was already in place. How can they be due to close at the end of the year if we don't bail them out?
Okay, William's on our mind. Morning, William.
Hello, Stephen. I was just thinking about music and music in general. I was enjoyed by people. But as a society, we probably would need to reflect on where we get our emphasis on. We spend millions and millions of pounds, and I'm not going to cite the examples, everybody knows, on policing these and supporting this music by these blood and thunder bands on both sides of the community. And there is a thing going on now up in that hill called Stormont where these people are supposed to be getting together to bring a resolution about so we can spend less money on these bands. And maybe then, if they're successful, we may have some money to give to an orchestra that does nothing but has positive vibes plus for this community.
William, thank you. John in Belfast. Morning, John.
Hello, Stephen. Stephen, why can't the Ulster Orchestra go to the banks? If they're going to go to Vienna and things like that, Danske Bank, Ulster Bank.
Go to the banks and get sponsorship, you mean?
Yeah. Why does it have to be public money?
Well, that would be a radical departure, wouldn't it?
Well, things have to move on. Why is the public in Belfast have to be the ones to bail them out when they can go to the banks and go private?
Do you not appreciate the orchestra? Do you not want it to survive?
I wouldn't mind the Ulster Orchestra surviving, but I don't see why public money has to be used when everyone else is facing savage cuts.
I've got to say, I've never been at a gig ever. Well, I don't go out, but I've never been at a gig ever with the Ulster Orchestra. Have you?
No.
No, I've never.
I've never seen it around the places where he said either, leisure centres and such. But that's beside the point, Stephen. I believe that they should be able to go to the banks and the banks should be able to sponsor them.
Brian, next morning, Brian.
Hello?
Yes, Brian.
Why would Barry McGuigan get £500,000 to run a boxing match and the orchestra doesn't get it?
It's not a bad question, Brian. Ryan, morning, Ryan.
Stephen, a point I want to make is that even if we get the £500,000 this year, it's likely that they're going to be coming back next year because the main sponsoring department, the Arts Council, are expecting budget cuts for the next financial year as well, which then will impact on the main arts companies that they do sponsor. So we're going to be back in this situation again next financial year.
So you're saying this is an ongoing problem?
It's an ongoing problem, Stephen.
But is it worth saving? That's the point.
Well, suppose culture and art is a big thing for people in Northern Ireland. So whether they want this diversity in the country.
Well, culture and arts, Ryan, I don't know if you'll agree with this or not, but it's a big thing for some people in Northern Ireland. Like, some people would rather have a good fish supper than go out to some of these arts events and cultural nights and all this kind of malarkey.
Well, I understand where you're coming from, but we can't. We need diversity in the country. We can't just have. It's not about just sitting a few or sitting in many as much. It's about trying to make something for all.
You see, you start to think of the pressure that there is on the health service, the pressure there is in the policing budget, pressure there is on the roads department, and then you start to wonder whether, you know, they're fighting at a time when it's going to be very difficult for them to justify public money.
I understand a lot of departments are facing increased pressure, but it's really for the people to decide in Northern Ireland what they want to the famous country. You know, we can all have an improved health service, we all want an improved police service, but you know, in terms of something having more to life, you know, in terms of the arts, is the kind of added thing in life that, you know, is helps
okay.
people.
All right, Ryan, thank you very much indeed.